An unarmed 29-year-old African-American man died in police handcuffs in Milwaukee on December 27th. Mario Babatunde Mallet was buried yesterday. Last night, 70 of his friends and family rallied to demand investigations, dismissals, and convictions of the police officers responsible for what organizers called a willful murder. According to eyewitness accounts, Mario Babatunde Mallet was pepper-sprayed, handcuffed, thrown in the back of a police van, and left alone during the 20-minute ride to an emergency room. He was face down and without a pulse when the van arrived at Froedtert Memorial Lutheran Hospital. Police department rules state that an officer should accompany a restrained prisoner. Neither his name nor the details of his death were made public for 6 days, despite repeated requests by the press for the police to release his name. His identity was first announced by the medical examiner on January 2nd. The Milwaukee County Medical Examiner released their final autopsy report yesterday, stating that Mallet died from acute exhaustive mania, a diagnosis never before made by the examiner's office. With us tonight from Milwaukee is Osagyefo, an organizer with the Coalition of Justice for Mario Babatunde Mallet, who was at the town hall meeting last night. Thanks for joining us, Osagyefo.
Thank you.
So could you summarize the eyewitness accounts? What happened the night of the 27th?
Give me your name again, will you please?
Yeah, my name is Wajid Jenkins.
Okay, Wajid. In summarizing the entire situation, we find it is very, very probable that there's a cover-up here. We have agencies protecting agencies and a lot of time being taken to put everyone in a position to package a proper story that is too packaged or too well packaged. We're a little frightened that this now puts us in a position to maintain the chain of murderous events that have taken place from Daniel Bell to Ernie Lacey, now to Mario Babatunde Mallet. We're extremely excited about the idea of Madison being able to come in and lend a hand in helping us to get to the bottom of this entire situation. On the 27th of December, Mr. Mallet, to the best of our knowledge, ran out of his house in pursuit of his dog, which was in traffic, in an attempt to keep the dog from getting hit by traffic. He was perceived by some as being helter-skelter in a little while because he had no shoes on and a tank top. Obviously, if he's trying to save his dog, he's not going to grab his shoes, his shirt, and his coat. He's going to simply try to get out and grab his dog and take him out of traffic, and it's a heavily trafficked area there right around, I believe it's 27th and Lisbon. Upon officers confronting Mr. Mallet, who actually went through our rites of passage program and received that name, Babatunde, a confrontation, an altercation, jumped off. The altercation, Brother Mallet was pepper sprayed and subdued. It had to be, we believe, great bodily harm brought to him, because he is 6'3", 250 pounds, a former All-American, All-City, All-State linebacker during the heyday of the Washington High School City Championships. This kid came out of the Bo Schembechler football summer camp as the number one rated linebacker in the Midwest, bench pressing well over 300 pounds and running a 4.45 40. He wasn't a lightweight, and to actually balance that off, he was a very soft-spoken, well-mannered young man who had his share of problems, as many young African-American males do between the ages of 13 and 30. But he was a family man, having children, and he was deeply involved with creating change within the community. And we find that the time period from when he was originally arrested until we were basically apprised of what had happened was much too long of a period. As a matter of fact,
actually,
it was a whole week.
could you back up before we get to the sequence of events after his death? Could you just describe what the eyewitness accounts say about the police treatment when he was put in the van?
Okay, we've got three eyewitnesses who have given statements, and two of them are young Asian American women who stated that he was beat profusely and that he was pepper sprayed and that he was forced into the van face down with his hands handcuffed behind his back. Now, these are two sisters that live right there in the area, and both of them are giving the same breakdown of what actually happened. And there's a third witness, and this witness is saying the same thing.
And then was there an eyewitness when he arrived at the hospital?
There is a unnamed police official who has stated that there was no police official, nor no qualified physician or attendant in the back of that van when he appeared there. And when he appeared there, he was face down, hands behind the back. Now, this was part of the Sentinel Journal reporting, and this appeared in print. I believe it was Friday of last week.
Now, after his death, it took a number of days before the police or any mention of the details was made public. Is that true?
That's 7 days, to be exact.
And are there discrepancies between these eyewitness reports and what came out in the police report?
Most assuredly. The police are saying that he was positioned properly in the van, seat-belted, and transported. This is in complete contradiction to what the eyewitnesses are saying. They're saying that he was handcuffed behind his back and forced into the van face down twice after he fought his way back out of the van.
And now, what is the opinion of friends and family of the diagnosis?
Well, we formed a coalition for the justice for Mario Mallett here in Milwaukee. I'm the senior advisor. That's why I'm talking to you. And obviously, we find that if you read, and I'm going to read that to you real quick, it'll take less than 30 seconds, the medical examiner's investigation into the death of Mario Mallett, who died December 27, 2001, reveals the cause of death to be acute exhaustive mania. Mr. Mallett died during police transport and being acutely agitated during this period. The preliminary toxicology findings were negative except for the presence of cannabis. The autopsy demonstrates no injuries to suggest the use of excessive force. Laboratory testing performed in conjunction with the autopsy revealed the presence of sickle cell trait. The manner of the death has been determined to be natural. Let's go back and review this real quick. First of all, in reviewing and talking to the family, Mrs. Rosemary Mallett, the mother of Mario, he's never had a sickle cell trait. In talking to his wife, Tanya Mallett, he had an operation last year. He played semi-pro ball. He blew his knee out and had a major operation on his knee where they did draw blood, and no mention of from the examining physicians was there that he had sickle cell trait. When we look at this concept of acute exhaustive mania, when I interviewed the county examiner, Dr. Jeffrey Jensen, we asked him how many times he had done examinations of this type, and he said on numerous occasions. We said, then how many times have you come up with the evidence related and the evidence offered with the findings of acute exhaustive mania? And he said, never. He said that he had heard about it before, and he'd read about it before, but in all times it had always been a cofactor. The cofactor to creating this acute exhaustive mania is always a high-profile drug, such as ecstasy or cocaine or something in that from that level.
Okay, now with
let me just add this last thing here, real quick.
We believe,
and I know you don't have a lot of time. We believe that the whole concept of the sickle cell trait is trumped up and cannot be substantiated, basically to support this acute exhaustive mania situation, and to make it appear as though his immune system was somewhat degenerative to the point that he died by being overly agitated. When we then asked Dr. Jensen, is it possible that his acute agitation could have come from the whipping and the pepper spray? And he said it's altogether possible that it could have happened that way.
Now, with just a minute or so left, could you outline the demands that the Coalition of Justice for Mario Babatunde Mallet put forth in the town hall meeting?
There are 8 demands, and I'll read through them real quickly. I read pretty fast. What we're demanding is a truthful account of all activities as a result of an inquest. That has been granted. Police officers' dismissals, prosecutions, and convictions. Obviously, that has not happened. Formal and public apologies from the police department, the city of Milwaukee, and the state of Wisconsin. An FBI investigation of all police custody deaths for the last 20 years in Milwaukee County. An independent investigative board fully funded by the city, consisting of Milwaukee-based African-Americans, to determine the truth in these matters. Number 6, fair and proper financial settlement for Tanya Mallet and her children. Citizens Advisory Board, a permanent Citizens Advisory Board, to act as a police watchdog committee to make recommendations that must be considered by the Police and Fire Commission. And finally, number 8, considerations of all wrongful deaths brought before this coalition. There have been over 10 documented wrongful deaths brought to us in the last 4 or 5 days in reference to police involvement here.
Okay. Well, our time is now up, and thank you very much. We have been speaking with Osage Fo of the Coalition of Justice for Mario Babatunde Mallet in Milwaukee. Thank you very much for being with us tonight.
All right, Mr. Jenkins, we appreciate your call.
Okay.
Have a good day.